Dave, Michelle and Baz for breakfast. 92.9 Triple M.
A special podcast for you today celebrating the life of Queen Elizabeth II, our longest reigning monarch since 1952. We dedicated our entire show today to Queen Elizabeth II after hearing the sad news of her passing. Here's how it went.
Queen Elizabeth II has passed away. Her passing comes as no surprise to any of us, but the impact will have a deep and lasting effect on people worldwide. For the majority of people the world over, Her Majesty is the only monarch we have ever known. An eternal figure, always of age, yet seemed immortal.
None of us will live forever. But we need life to go on. We are doing this not for ourselves, but for our children and our children's children, and those who will follow in their footsteps.
The Queen, a shining light you could never imagine burning out. However, that moment in history is now here. The United Kingdom has prepared for the Queen's passing for many years, with a system in place known as Operation London Bridge. London Bridge is down was the phrase expected to be communicated to key personnel, including the British Prime Minister and head officers of the police and armed forces after her death. In the UK, all BBC newsreaders will be required to wear black on screen as a mark of respect. Comedies will be withdrawn from BBC TV until after the Queen's funeral. Flags will fly at half-mast across the UK, and the country will start a mourning period, including 2 minutes of silence nationwide at midday of the day of her funeral. The Queen's body will be moved to Buckingham Palace, and preparations will be made for the state funeral. The Archbishop of Canterbury will be in charge of funeral operations. The Queen's funeral and Charles' coronation will become national holidays, and the London Stock Exchange will close on the day of the funeral. So while the world goes into mourning Queen Elizabeth, she will be remembered as more than the most famous royal of all time, but as a much-loved wife, mother, daughter, grandmother and great-grandmother. The Queen's trademark grace and poise never wavered, and she never lost her passion for charity, her beloved animals or her family. Her devotion to the crown and to the Commonwealth were unparalleled. But most of all, she loved her public as much as they loved her during her remarkable 70 years on the throne.
What leaders do for their people today is government and politics. But what they do for the people of tomorrow, that is statesmanship.
Rest in peace, Your Majesty.
Michelle and Baz for breakfast. Never boring. 92.9 Triple M.
If you don't wish to know the score, I suggest you look away now.
Michelle's Around the Grounds.
Now, a bit of a somber one today as we talk about the Queen passing. Queen Elizabeth II, my favourite royal. She's stood the test of time, the longest reigning monarch in UK and the second longest in the history, I think, after 70 years of ruling. And the royal family broke protocol. They would come out at 8 a.m. London time, obviously, and make the announcement.
Well, they had a full game plan, didn't they? A full game, because they knew she was going to be dead soon. So they had a full game plan, ready to go.
So what happens? Well, here it is. Here's the announcement from the BBC.
Buckingham Palace has announced the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. In a statement, the palace said the Queen died peacefully at Balmoral. The King and the Queen Consort will remain at Balmoral this evening and will return to London tomorrow.
There you go. But one of the most loved figures in the royal family. It'll be interesting to see how it goes ahead after this. But you were talking before as well, outside, everyone's already started gathering outside of Buckingham Palace and they're singing this.
God save the King.
Someone went a bit early on that one.
Isn't it interesting?
I don't know whether I'd... Geez,
is it? I mean, obviously, the Queen is gone. Now we have King Charles III. It's, I find it so interesting that they launched into that already sort of thing. But, I mean, I suppose they've got protocols. Talking about the ins and outs of what they do for the announcement of the Queen, it's called Operation London Bridge.
No, this is the game plan. Yeah,
this
sorry.
Is the game plan, okay? So it's since the 1960s, they have had a plan for if unfortunately, Queen Elizabeth II should pass away. So since 1960, and it gets reviewed every year, it's called Operation London Bridge, or London Bridge is down when it actually occurs. And every about three times a year, they would meet government officials, police, and broadcasters.
See if it's still relevant.
Yeah, to make sure that they've got their package right and their actions right for when this big event happens. And unfortunately today, it has happened.
The text line's been met with mixed emotions.
Is that right? Mm. What are you hearing off the text line?
Well, they're not happy the front bar got pulled last night. They're filthy the front bar this got is, pulled. Three messages overnight. Bloody ball duster cut the front bar off. X, can you please pass on a big FU? The front bar got cut short.
We are getting to the pointy end of football, but these things happen, don't they?
We're going to get enough footy. We've got Isaac Quainer and a few other bits of pieces, of course, on the way. So don't worry. It's not all going to be just the Queen.
Zave, Michelle and Baz for breakfast. Never boring. 92.9 Triple M.
Queen Elizabeth II has passed away. And we were just talking off air, Basil. We want to know if you've met the Queen, because Basil, you were lucky enough to meet the Queen on one of her visits, I think her last visit here.
Yeah. People listening to us who were lucky enough, and I say lucky enough, obviously, because I think everybody, even if you weren't a royalist, even if the hoo-ha that's follows the royal family, and you're probably a bit in that camp.
I'm a little bit like that, I agree.
But to have met the Queen is like meeting Nelson Mandela or JF Kennedy. In fact, she's a bigger figure than all of those because of the life that she lived, how long she was on the throne. And most people grew up with her.
Stupid question, is there actually a big golden throne?
There is a throne. I'm not sure if it's gotten, probably.
But there's a throne. Yeah, right.
There is a throne, and obviously the crown is very real. She visited Australia on 16 occasions.
Yes.
A number of those visits to Perth, not all of them. She came for her very first visit as the Queen just after her coronation. And in 2011, her last visit, and when she was here, a number of public gatherings where people had the opportunity to go and see her and hear from her.
Over the years, I have seen how this state has developed. Western Australia has evolved in its own unique style. The rich diversity of this vast state has never been more apparent.
Now, that was at a garden party in 2011, held right where Elizabeth Quay, the water, is right now.
Okay.
So she came. There was a stage. She walked out on the stage. This was anybody could go.
Right.
It was on a big park. It was absolutely chock-a-blocked. And then a day or so, or maybe a week after she had gone, and on that very spot where she stood, the then Premier Colin Barnett said, in honour of Her Majesty, in honour of her most recent visit, we are going to turn this park in her honour and name it Elizabeth Quay. Wow. And that's where she last stood when she was in Perth. And lots of people had the opportunity. It was a big sausage sizzle, a big barbecue.
Big
maybe you were there. Maybe you went down with your family. Maybe your family dragged you along.
Yes.
And you happened to be there. The day before that, she had a garden party at Council House. At Government House, just next door to Council House. And Amy and I were lucky enough to be on the list of people invited to go. There was a super special section of people that got to meet her.
Yes.
And
I wasn't in that crew. I famously remember Adam Gilchrist was one of the people.
Gilly rolled on
in. I remember looking over and there was Gilly and the big ears out flapping and saying g'day to Her Majesty. But we were allowed to stand really anywhere you wanted. And she walked down a footpath from the house at Government House down to where the rest of the garden party was at Government House. And she was from me to you away, Xavier, that's 2 metres away.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at her and you could see her skin, her handbag, her shoes. Wow. And it was amazing to see that lady that we'd seen on TV all of those years just wander close by. And she had more to say about the state of WA.
I can think of no more fitting way to end my visit here than in this idyllic Swan River setting, which I have enjoyed on so many occasions.
And that now is Elizabeth Quay, where she stood. For me personally, she opened Council House, the building where the City of Perth is headquartered. She did that in 1963, almost 60 years ago. She stood there with Prince Philip. There's a photo of it. So I walk in there every day. And in that very spot, Queen Elizabeth stood to officially cut the ribbon to open Council House. So
Baz thinks that's one that got away.
Exactly.
We might need to reopen that. Didn't you just snip it?
I wasn't born there. Maybe we should have recreated it or something. So on behalf of everybody, really, on behalf of the people of the city of Perth, it's a sad day, isn't it? And even if, like Zave, you're not a monarchist, I think we respect her long years of service, her dedication to her people, to her family, and to her work.
I think more too, as a grandmother, a mother, a great-grandmother, The royal stuff's great, and as I said, I'm not in or out. I'm not really fussed by it.
Yeah.
But she is a grandmother, and more I see more the family side as opposed to the royal side.
But every single day, she turned up and worked. Yeah. She went to garden parties. She
wouldn't have many sick days.
She went to fights. No. She went and spoke to people. And every time she went to an event, just imagine it this way, that was the most important day of those people's lives. And she made every day and every event feel like that for those people. She never, ever turned her back on it, never said, I can't be bothered, never gave less than 100%. And that was a role that she didn't apply for, she was born into. Yeah. Mm. She had no choice and she did it until the day that she died. I wonder if there is anybody who was lucky enough to meet Her Majesty.
I would love to hear.
And a lot of people talk about meeting the Queen, even quite well-known people, people like David Beckham, for example, who would have had the opportunity because of his role as Captain of England, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And they talk about how profound it was.
Yeah.
You know, didn't expect much, just thought, oh, yeah, I'm meeting another dignitary, that'll be pretty cool. But then when they met her, almost a life-changing moment because there she was, that person they'd seen their whole lives on TV speaking back at them.
There.
Quite incredible if you had the opportunity to say hello.
And we want to know if you've met the Queen at all. 133353. Andrew's in Secret Harbour. You've met the Queen when, Andrew?
Yes, I sure did. I was in the Navy at the time, and it was in March of 86. I was one of four officer stewards chosen by the Navy.
Wow.
And it was perhaps the highlight of my career in my 22 and a half year service. I still have the admission pass to getting into Government House as well as the menu. And there was at the time Bob Hawke. He was overseas in Fiji, worrying about the trouble they had with the big coup there with Colonel Rambuka.
Yeah.
There was Nick Greiner, Neville Wran, the heads of Defence Force, Unsworth.
What did she say to you? Can you remember the conversation?
I remember offering port and coffee to them, and she actually was a lot shorter than what she does appear in the photos you see of her.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was actually very close in speaking Greek to Prince Philip.
Wow.
Because I'm of Greek origin, with a surname like Pappas, but I actually held on to my professionalism.
Well done, Andrew.
And I had to bite my tongue there.
Ah, good man.
Oh, was she having a tipple, Andrew? Because she didn't mind a drink here and there, our Queen.
Yes, very true. I remember the other wines they served was Queen Adelaide at the time.
Oh, beautiful.
By Taylor's Wines, I believe.
Yeah, the old Queen Adelaide Riesling, which was a very popular drop back in the day. Well done.
There you go, Andrew.
That's amazing, Andrew.
Good memories. Bev, good morning.
Oh, Bev.
Oh, good morning, boys and girls. Oh.
Now, Bev, I read in the screen you're a little bit emotional this morning. You met the Queen?
Yeah, well, I didn't actually meet her, but I've been to the movies with her, put it that way.
Oh, you went to the movies with her?
I was fortunate enough to be on the invitation list to go to the royal premiere of Gallipoli, which was at the Sydney Centre in Murray Street.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was incredible. We had to arrive early, of course, and the television screens showed the royal couple leaving from Government House and the way through. And we had our instructions that we would not to turn around and stare at the royal couple. All we could really see of her is what we saw on the television screens. But it was very interesting. As we arrived and went upstairs to the foyer, we could see across at the rooftops around us. And it was Chinese New Year, and there were firecrackers going off, and it was making everybody nervous. So I think there were snipers around on the rooftops.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Her protection just placed around, yeah.
They needed to follow Sian's, just loosen the back up a little bit to check out what's going on behind you, Bev. Just pretend you're stretching the back and then you can have a good gaze at what's going on behind you.
Oh, well, it was very exciting weather.
I can imagine.
I bet it was.
She looked very beautiful in her resplendent gown.
Yes.
And, it was about 40-odd years ago, so that was a very nice memory for me to have.
You never forget that. You never forget that. How do you think we're going to go with Charles, Bev? Do you think people will warm to Charles?
I'm not too sure about that one. Mm. I secretly am hoping that he might pass it on to William pretty soon.
He's waited his whole life for this. I'm not sure that he's going to give it away.
I don't think
promotion.
Think
if you've ever gone to bed and woken up with a promotion.
Yeah.
It's Charles this morning.
Wow. It's that famous line, isn't it? The Queen is dead, long live the King. The moment she dies, he is the new King. And and that's what the UK is waking up to this morning, an incredible day in the history of the world.
Zave, Michelle and Baz for breakfast. Never boring. 92.9 Triple M.
And we're going to cross live to London right now to our royal correspondent, Gavin Gray. Gavin, good morning. Thanks for your time this morning.
Morning there, guys.
Gavin, where do we even start? We're here in Australia. We're part of the monarchy. It's a really sad day. I think it's a very sad day. How's everyone handling it in the UK?
It's a monumental day as well, Michelle, isn't it? Because for everyone under the age of 70, they've only known one monarch. And that feeling of constancy, that person who's always been there, is no longer there. And, I speak as somebody who's not a member of the family, because, of course, at the heart, there's a personal family tale here as well. But I think things are going to feel and seem incredibly different. But at the moment, hundreds of people outside Buckingham Palace, a short distance away. I've come away from there to talk to you. And, you know, it's been pouring with rain. That's not stopped people. They've been turning up. And it's not just Londoners turning up. They've had people from around the country I met. Wow. Who have turned up, and they just said, I feel I needed to be here. I know Her Majesty died in Scotland, but I feel I needed to be outside Buckingham Palace to pay my respects.
How does the news break that the Queen has passed away? And we saw that a letter was released yesterday saying that she was in medical care. But how do you tie the ribbon around the announcement?
What would it be? About 10 hours ago, there was an original announcement saying that she was sort of under doctor supervision, but said that she was still, you know, comfortable. That was sort of okay. And then we discovered that her children, Prince Charles, now King Charles III, Prince Andrew, Prince Edward, and the Princess Royal, Princess Anne, were all heading up to Scotland. Now, Prince Charles and Princess Anne were in Scotland on official events or on holiday, but the others were coming up to Scotland from south of England. And you think, oh, now that's different. Then we heard Prince William was on his way up there. And I think at that point, the penny dropped for me and for others that this wasn't just any sort of minor relapse. This was very, very serious. About six and a bit hours after that first announcement, then we got the announcement that she had died. King Charles III and the Queen Consort Camilla coming down to London tomorrow. We now know, incidentally, that they will have an audience with our new Prime Minister, Liz Truss. There will be a gun salute, and then we think there's going to be a national statement. In other words, he will address the nation tomorrow, which, of course, will be carried on television and social media and radio. We also think that there'll be some sort of meeting of what's called the Accession Council, and this is basically the ceremonial part of the handing over. But, of course, then there's going to be the coronation at a later date.
Wow. Is this the beginning of a changing sort of face for the royals? Because she was so loved, and I don't think maybe anyone in my mind is quite on the level that she is from the family.
No, and I think that's a real problem for Prince Charles. It's always very difficult to take over from somebody when they've been incredibly popular and very successful. Now, the Queen weathered many crises, but has come out of it, I think, remarkably well. Plus the fact that she also, over the last couple of years, is trying to be laying the groundwork for Prince Charles to become King Charles III. Even, you know, saying to the nation, I would very much appreciate it if you called Camilla the Queen Consort when I am no longer alive. So she was really thinking ahead for that, and she's hoping that the handover will be smooth. But let's be honest, Prince Charles is not as popular as the Queen, and I think it's going to be very difficult for him to fulfill the role in the way that she has done.
Let's hope the royal family doesn't disintegrate, because Harry, Andrew, there's been bits and pieces around everywhere. Do we imagine this might be a moment that everyone comes together and puts everything aside for a little while?
Well, that would be the logical and the hopeful thing to wish. But the problem we've got, Xavier, is that Harry and Prince William have been living for two or three days now about 800 metres apart. My sources say they didn't even share a phone call. Imagine them both under the one roof at Balmoral, both in grief, and both facing one another in the room. It's going to be very difficult. And like all families, and we mustn't forget they're a family, all families, there are arguments, rows, and difficulties. I just hope, I hope what you just said there, that they're all beginning to get on and help each other through this process.
You're in our hearts, and it's just a sad day for us today.
I hear that, Gavin, there was a double rainbow heading over Buckingham Palace this morning?
There was. We've had a lot of rain, and the sun came out as a double rainbow. Not just that, about 5 minutes ago, there was the most glorious full moon over Buckingham Palace as well.
It wasn't even due a full moon. It just popped up.
Oh, wow. That's so lovely.
Amazing.
An extraordinary day. Our royal correspondent there, Gavin Gray, on the ground in London. Thanks for your time this morning, Gavin.
Cheers, guys.
If you are just waking up, it is a sad day for all. Queen Elizabeth II has passed away overnight, age 96.
Dave, Michelle and Baz for breakfast. Never boring. 92.9 Triple M.
We are going to cross live to London now from Channel 9 News. Tracy Vo is at Buckingham Palace. TiVo, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning, guys.
Well, it's 1:10 in the morning there. What's going on at the moment? Paint us a picture.
Yeah, look, Michelle, we're outside Buckingham Palace as we speak. We're probably going to stay here for most of the night. But there's a huge crowd still here. People are streaming through, just wanting to pay their respects. And as you said earlier, Dave, like, it's trying to process this news. I don't think we expected it so fast, considering we only saw the Queen 2 days ago receiving the new UK Prime Minister and seeing those images beamed right across the world. She did look a little frail, and she had a walking stick, but she was still smiling and standing and shook hands with Liz Truss. This happened all really rapidly. Through the afternoon, London time, we sort of got wind of this news at about lunchtime. Then I headed out here about 6 hours later, about 6 p.m. There was a real feeling of uncertainty, a bit of anxiety. And then half an hour later, that's when the news broke that the Queen had passed away.
Tracy, do we know what time actually she died? Has that information been made available? And are we right in saying that there was a break from the previously agreed protocol, that the news was announced pretty soon after rather than holding for the time that it had previously been worked out that announcement would be made?
Yeah, look, we are hearing reports that perhaps Prince Charles and our King Charles III and his wife Camilla arrived at Balmoral by the Queen's side, but by the time Prince William, Prince Andrew and the Earl and Countess of Wessex arrived, we believe that the Queen had passed away by that time. And you're right in regards to the announcement of the Queen's passing, Baz, because we were expecting potentially it would be announced in the morning, next day at London time. But it was revealed at 6:30 in the evening. And I guess perhaps it might have been a request from the Queen just to have that news revealed immediately, I suppose, and no waiting around. But we, that's still not clear. But it is a break in protocol. But even the statement revealing that doctors were worried about her health and that they were keeping a close eye, that was unexpected.
Got everybody ready for the news.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Trace.
That's right.
Trace, are you over there for work, or so have you just been called up, or are you holidaying? What are you doing over there?
What a time to be there, Trace.
I know. It is a moment in history, and what a privilege I must admit to be here at this time. I'm here filling in actually for our very own Brett McLeod, who was on a trip, but he's also been called. It's all hands on deck. You want to be here for this kind of story. I think I'd it's just strange that the timing is for me while I'm here for this stint. But and it's all the hands on deck. I'm here all night.
Yep.
We've got reporters flying in from Australia and also from our LA bureau as well. So it is a huge story. I don't think we'll cover anything this big for a long, long time. It's the Queen who's been at the helm for 70 years.
What was it like when the news just started to sprinkle from, you know, one person's phone, you know, got mm-hmm. the tweet or whatever to the next mm-hmm. person, to the next person? I imagine, you know, just if something happens around Perth, the little secret squirrel sort of chats happen pretty quickly. It must have been amazing watching the word spread across the country.
Well, it's interesting, Dave, because we sort of got rumblings when there was a debate going in the UK Parliament about this whole new energy plan, because obviously there's a huge crisis here happening in the UK. But there were some notes being passed around to the Prime Minister, opposition leader, and there mm-hmm. were some glum faces wow. during that debate. Mm. And we thought perhaps this is something's brewing here. Mm. And then when I was out here standing outside Buckingham Palace, everyone, I think, just sort of took a moment. You know, there were a lot of tourists here taking photos. You know, this is obviously the tourist hotspot, but everyone sort of just stood still for a moment, just processing that news. But then also, there's been a bit of a celebration of the Queen and her work and her duty, because people have been sort of sporadically playing the national anthem or singing the national anthem. There's been some cheering, but also plenty of people dropping off flowers and taking a moment to reflect on the Queen's life and her work.
And Tracy, of course, media they're fixated by the royals. Are the media behaving themselves outside the palace there? Is it quite respectable, or how is it?
Absolutely, yeah. No, we're all in this together, and it's been quite... we're all working well together as well. We're helping each other out, because... You can't be competitive in this kind of situation, because it's such a big news story. And let's face it, we're all here for the same reason, to report on this momentous occasion. And it doesn't stop here, though. We've got 10 days, and the funeral is going to be held in 10 days. The Queen's body will lie in state for the public to pass through. It's going to be a busy couple of days, but what a moment in history.
Absolutely. Trace, they reckon that no person's covered a royal wedding like I covered it about 5 or 6
and
years
that is
ago.
True.
Oh,
if you need some more, you know, 2 more legs on the ground, just let me know and I'll get over there.
Dave, come on over. you'll enjoy it. It's a time in history.
It sure is. Trace, you've got a front row seat, haven't you? Enjoy it. Not that you enjoy a moment like this, but you are part of history, and it is, as you said, a great privilege to be there. Congratulations on the work you've done already with this breaking story, and we wish you all the very best. We'll see you on the news tonight, I'm sure.
Thank you, Baz.
Dave, Michelle and Baz for breakfast. Never boring. 92.9 Triple M.
We're very lucky because we're in the presence of a true royalist in Xavier Ellis.
I am a true royalist, and I made sure that I did. And I'm really upset by the Meghan and Prince Harry situation at the moment, because last time I was in London, I was actually, as I mentioned to TiVo just moments ago, I was the...
Listen to him dropping names.
I was on the ground.
Mate,
I was on the ground at the wedding. I was going to call it the funeral.
Same. Why were you sad for them? What, but just because of the breakup and everything?
No, I just liked it. Now, I didn't really want to go over, to be honest with you. I wanted to go to London and catch up with a couple of mates that were living over there, like Maddie Spanger and the gang.
I could hear the conversation you had with Maddie. Yeah. Why bleep, 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 me?
Yeah, so anyway, we went over, the whole team went over, and to broadcast live back into Perth... Mm. Two of the three had to stay on site in the hotel, and one of us had to head out to where the wedding was, about an hour and a half from the City of London.
Yeah.
Right.
So I had no interest. So I was thinking, right, I'll just sit in the hotel. It was late at night. You could have a couple of beers for you.
Have you done?
Responsibly, of course, and then get on and rock and roll, because it was the time difference.
Mid-strength.
Midi, little 3.5ers. Anyway, I got the call up and said, righto, X, you're heading out to, where were they married? What's that place called again?
Not Balmoral. Windsor?
What was that?
Windsor?
Windsor.
Frogs. Right.
I was out to Windsor. And you know when you see the big, long driveway with hundreds of thousands along the side?
Yeah.
I just assumed I was going to be in amongst that pack.
Yes.
But for some reason, an old producer threw a Hail Mary and rang the pub, which is the closest to the church,
yes,
and said, look, we're from Australia. We're flying over next month. any chance you can sneak us in.
Mm. Get and out. Yeah,
because it was like a, it's like a farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those, it's like little paddocks all the way along the big road. So you're in paddock one. Mm. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
For safety reasons, etc. So I've walked through, I've virtually walked the whole driveway.
Amazing.
And I was 1A.
Wow.
Like, not in the church. But I didn't need the TV on. I could hear all the bells and whistles going on. Anyway, and I'd still on the beers enjoying my day. And every now and then they'd cross to me and I'd have to get my stuff ready. Hey, big scenes here. Queen's just arrived. They're walking up the stairs. I think I called the Meghan Markle's dress. You know when a fishing trawler's got the net hanging out? Looked like that up the stairs, all that sort of stuff. Lovely Givenchy number. I've got this designer, a Givenchy.
Fly.
I was literally watching the screen and I could see they were leaving the church and I walked 5 metres down a corridor and Meghan Markle, Michelle, was you to me away looking me in the eyes. Photo. I was with Tori, who used to work here. A mate of mine, her and I were on site. She was like the
producer
who would be
on-site producer.
Who would be 5 minutes ahead of the play. Finish up. You got to get it out there. And in all seriousness, I had a bloody good time.
You say you saw her and the eyes locked, what sort of eye lock?
Well, you can tell
it's
you're saying too late.
Yeah.
Where were you last night? We could have ended it then. And Harry saw me too.
Fellow ginger touch.
I know.
He knew to look out.
She wanted a ginger ninja, just went to the wrong one.
Save Michelle and Baz for breakfast. Never boring. 92.9 Triple M.
Yeah, long stint. There's a couple of stories that kick around that, and as I said, I've said many a time, I'm not fully into it, but there are some stories that I found along the way and I find them quite interesting.
Do you know the 1977 centenary test? She came out for the cricket match Australia versus England. It was a recreation of the first test match between the two countries 100 years earlier. Dennis Lilly was the main man.
Yeah.
He was the Shane Warne and Glenn McGrath combined of his time. Mm-hmm. He was an unbelievable fast bowler with all of the charisma. And as the captain of the Australian team, Ian or Greg Chappell, might have been Greg, walking the Queen down the line. To meet all of the players.
Mm.
Dennis Lilly, and you can imagine Warnie doing this, pulled out of his pocket in his whites and with the Australian blazer on in the lineup, pulled out his autograph book.
He did
and
not.
Said, "Your Majesty, could I please get your autograph?" Yeah. Now, protocol was, of course, that the Queen did not sign autographs.
Ah.
Certainly didn't do it in public because imagine how many autographs she would then have
one,
to sign.
A million.
And so somehow that got explained, or she actually even said it to the great DK Lilly herself. Little bit of a kerfuffle around that, but in a nice way.
Mm.
About 3 weeks later, a package arrived at Dennis Lilly's house.
Ah.
It was a photograph of the Queen autographed by Her Majesty for Dennis Lilly. So even though protocol meant she couldn't do it for the great DK Lilly there and then at that moment.
Found some time privately.
She found the time to do it and organised for it to be sent to his personal address.
How good's that? And that's a ripper. And there's another one I saw the other day kicking around about, obviously the Queen has protection everywhere. She's the safest lady, was the safest lady in the world.
Mm.
Anyway, there's a story about an American couple hiking through the woods or whatever, and just coincided with the Queen hiking through the woods. Now, we've had to condense the version, but I think you'll get the gist.
But there was two hikers coming towards us, and the Queen would always stop and say hello. And it was two Americans on a walking holiday. And it was clear from the moment that we first stopped, they hadn't recognised the Queen, which is fine. And I could see it coming, and sure enough, he said to Her Majesty, "And where do you live?" And she said, "Well, I live in London, but I've got a holiday home just the other side of the hills." And he said, "Well, how often have you been coming up here?" "Oh," she said, "I've been coming up here ever since I was a little girl, so over 80 years. And you could see the clogs thinking. He said, "Well, if you've been coming up here for 80 years, you must have met the Queen." And as quick as a flash, she says, "Well, I haven't, but Dick here meets her regularly." Anyway, the next thing I knew, this guy comes around, puts his arm around my shoulder, and before I could see what was happening, he gets his camera, gives it to the Queen, and says, "Can you take a picture of the two of us?" Anyway, we swapped places, and I took a picture of them with the Queen, and we never let on, and we waved goodbye, and then Her Majesty said to me, "I'd love to be a fly on the wall when he shows those photographs to the friends in America, and hopefully someone tells him who I am."
That is brilliant.
What a moment, Hayes.
Imagine that.
What a story.
You drop it off at the dry cleaning, you know, the chemist who has everything, the dry cleaning, and you get the development, and they go, "Geez, you had a fair holiday."
Let's see that guy. He's met the Queen.
He met the Queen.
I don't know who that chick is.
Dickie met the Queen.
Zave, Michelle and Baz for breakfast. Never boring. 92.9 Triple M.